Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Fine, it's okay. Can the kartals move up closer? Baji baboliya heshe shamshara bhitare. Bhuliya rohile tumi abijara bare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Tumare loite ami hoinu avatara. Ami bina bandhu aro ke ache tomara. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Ene chia shaudi mai nashi baro lagi. Harinam Mahamandra Lao Tumi Magi. Harinam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thakur Pakati Vinoda Prabhu Charane Puriya. Thakur Pakati Vinoda Prabhu Charane Puriya. Hari Nama Mantra Loi Lo Magiya Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nitai Gaura Haribol, 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 Nitai Gaura Haribol. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. The one and only Ganga Narayan, harmonium for the Kirtan players. Come on, for the Hare Krishna singers. For everybody in Alachua. For everybody all over Florida. For everybody all over the world. Gopremanande. Nitai Gora Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nitai Gora Hari Bol. I offer my respectful obeisances to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and to all the devotees who are present here today. You're all Vaishnavas, therefore the most worshipable ever anywhere within the three worlds. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
And, of course, as a strategy, book distribution should be understood, or it's best if we appreciate the fact that we have a valid strategy, because oftentimes I've heard, and I know that people think sometimes that book distribution maybe is overrated, or that maybe it was a fad for a particular time, or maybe some people got overzealous and just inflated its importance. But in my research, I've found in talking to senior devotees all over the world and reading extensively what Prabhupada has written in his letters and books, this is not the case. Not only is it a valid, but it is the best strategy. What's more, it is a process that is has affected the world in significant ways, a few of which I'd just like to present today before we go into some formal training and methodology. Somebody asked last night for methodology. So today you will get that, because it'll give you complete confidence in presenting Bhagavad Gita as it is anywhere you go. So this pen is mightier than the sword is a presentation about books themselves. And first we might think about the future of the book, because oftentimes people hear or think that perhaps books will be replaced by electronic media. However, we're finding that the industry experts say otherwise. There's a way in which ever since 2014 and all the way to the present age, same predictions are there and the same trends are there, and that is, books are increasing in popularity. Electronic media, which is very important also, is not overcoming books and books are becoming obsolete, but rather books are becoming more and more popular around the world. So please have no fear that books are going to disappear and that the medium itself will become irrelevant. That's not what's happening. So what is a book? And I'd feel more comfortable if I had a Bhagavad Gita here, because a book is a
container.
It's a container. And what does it hold inside? It is full of idea seeds. People get ideas from books, as we'll see. And seeds are deceptively simple, yet powerful. If you look at a little seed, you'll notice it looks small, insignificant, sometimes it's a little dried up thing. But once it gets out into the right environment and there's some water and sun and light, soil, it grows. And then it becomes more and more significant as it grows. So idea seeds are no less potent. All things in human society start from ideas. And those ideas, I will argue, come from books, or at least the ideas may be there, but those who consolidate their ideas into well-thought-out writings have the greatest impact on the world. Just one example, when we were just in Washington, D.C.,
a few days ago, we went to see the National Archives, and there we looked at the Magna Carta and the Constitution of the United States, the Bill of Rights, and so forth. They're enshrined there, literally. And there's a way in which the United States of America has hung together, come what may, over the last couple hundred plus years. And it's on the basis of these writings. There's an agreement, a consensus, and it's written down. And once it's written, it has force, it has power. So the written word has power in human society, especially when it's bound into books, as we'll see more as we go forward. Why are these ideas so potent in society? That is because we're dealing with living entities, and who can say, in a matter of a word in our philosophy, what is the jiva as far as a category of energy goes? Marginal, we also say tatasta. What does that actually mean, marginal? Well, it could mean many things, but I like to say it means that the jiva is open to suggestion. Because according to Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, purusha prakriti stohi punkte prakriti jan gunan karanam guna sangosya sarasad yoni janmasu. Whatever environment a living entity comes into determines his future. Why? Because he's open to suggestion. He's easily influenceable by the three modes of material nature, and those manifest through people. And when people come in touch with writings written by people, then the idea seeds go within the heart of the living entity, and he'll take up a new direction in life. He may even change drastically the direction he's in. Usually it takes place by the suggestion of a new idea, and most prominently through the written word. If you look on the left, you'll see an ancient scroll written on palm leaves. These were created by impressing a metal instrument, a stylus, if you will, onto the leaf itself with the pressure. And after the leaf is placed in the sun, the area that was pressed changes color. And there you have the scripture like that. You can see the exquisite handwriting and so forth. These scrolls, there are still thousands, maybe millions, extant in India, and there's a way in which these took a painstaking endeavor to create. Many of them were written by scrolls who were illiterate. Most scrolls at the time didn't read, but they just knew how to copy. And to make one copy, we heard last night from Gopal, see here again today, he said it would take him a month to copy the whole Bhagavad Gita. That's probably if he didn't eat or sleep. Right, Gopal? Yeah. We'll see. We can try. And on the right, you see the human's impetus to increase the efficiency of printing, because there are various ways in which the technology increased, not the least of which was the Gutenberg Bible, a Gutenberg press, which employed movable type and revolutionized what was then very slow method of writing into being able to produce whole books, particularly the Bible. Most specifically, that's why Gutenberg invented the press, because there was this idea that by getting the Bible out to more people around the world, the idea seeds within the Bible would spill out into the minds and hearts of the people, and they would be able to take up a life of devotion to Lord Jesus. And it worked. There's proof that there's ways in which, as the written material during the Christian era circulated, more and more people became aware of the offer that Lord Jesus Christ made, and then they took to it. So We see from the Bible how books have transformed the world. We look at other genres. For instance, just a quick survey, who here has heard of the theory of evolution? Most of you. Okay, and who here has a copy of Origin of Species in their car? How about at home on the nightstand? How about on the nightstand? No? Somewhere in your house, in a box. One scholar over here who just finished graduate school. And other than that, most people don't have it. Most people haven't read it. And if you interview people anywhere and ask about evolution, they'll say, oh, yeah, sure, evolution. One way or another, they have an inkling that somehow or other we've evolved. In fact, you'll find it in literatures, self-help literatures, everything. They say, well, the reason we think like this is because earlier when we were hunter-gatherers and cavemen and we developed these habits and we've held on to them over time due to survival instincts and so forth. This is assumed that this is correct. And where did this theory and this whole ideology come from? It came from a book. The book went out, the idea seeds spread out. People took it seriously because it was bound and made available to the world. Somebody compiled it. And now that philosophy pervades the world. People are very, very much familiar with it, even as the book is not available so much. There are also economic systems that people take as the absolute truth, ways in which they will fight wars for various economic systems. And these come from people who thought about it carefully, wrote down, for instance, many of you know Adam Smith and The Wealth of Nations, which presented very cohesive theories of economics that now pervade the world. Fidel Castro was in jail, and as he sat there thinking about how to change Cuba, he wrote in lime juice on blank pieces of paper his ideas for rearranging society. And the lime juice can't be seen until it's exposed to sunlight. So his fiancée, Mitra, at the time, would come to visit him in the prison and take these apparently blank pages out and expose them to the sun. She compiled them along with others and got them out to the greater population. And when he finally got out of prison, they were ready for revolution. Why? According to historians, because of his writings. History will absolve me. It was a powerfully written document that the idea seeds of which spilled out into human society in Cuba and made all the difference. Here in these great United States of America, we have we may take for granted that yes, we're the United States. Well, how did that happen? Those colonists who were not satisfied with being subjected to the influence of the crown in England, then began to come together to talk about breaking free. But according to historians, again, the catalyst was this little book, which is called Common Sense by Thomas Paine. Still today, the best-selling book per capita of any other book in the world. These books were sold in the colonies, and almost everyone bought a copy. And they read it, and they were galvanized to rise up and take to the revolution, which resulted eventually in these United States of America. Of course, backed by documents like the Magna Carta, which was the blueprint, really, for the Constitution of the United States of America. All the written word. Human beings respond to this organized form of thought. When it comes into books, they read it, they take it seriously, and it changes their hearts. So, as I expressed last night, sampradaya means to give. It means to give a gift. And the greatest gift that we have is the knowledge that's being passed down from Krishna himself. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself distributed books. At the time he found the Brahma Samhita at the Adi Kesava temple, he had it copied many times and made it available to all his favorite disciples. Same with the Sri Krishna Karnamrita. Now, let's take a look at this picture. And you're all familiar with this, right?
Yes.
Right. Take a close look at the picture. You may not have noticed before, but what about it seems anachronistic? Somebody say? Who said a book? Everybody agrees, a book. What's strange about that? Books are all over the place. You can get books anywhere nowadays. Oh, there's no written books. And there was, where was that book printed at the time of? Rabindranath Prabhu, who wrote the foreword to my book, Our Family Business, comments in that, in one of his paragraphs, he said, because we are known as the Sampradaya of the book. So you'll notice that in many Gaudiyas, Sampradayas, that pictures of Brahma are shown with him holding a book. It's meant to show what is our purpose. Our purpose of Sampradaya means to pass down the knowledge, to make it available to human society as much as possible. But let's look further in our Sampradaya, those gift givers. Who's that? I'm just noticing something about the picture. What does he have on his lap there? Okay, so I want you to help me out with this next section. It's just for a couple minutes, but when you see what it is, then you can say the word book or books, okay, as it's relevant. Can you all say that? Okay, that was on a scale of 1 to 10, that was a 0.5. We need to move up to about a 3. Okay. What should the Vyasadeva have in his lap? A book, right? Okay. I'm just going to see if we can find a pattern here. Who is this? What is he holding in his hand? That was a 2, but we'll get there. Who is that? What is he kneeling before? That is correct, yes. Who is this? What is he occupied in writing there? Correct. Who is this? What are they holding there and what are they famous for? Correct. Who is this? Oh my goodness, I just noticed this, but what is he posing with? Correct. Very good. Who is this? Oh my word, it looks... I'm seeing these for the first time. What's he posing in front of? Correct again. And who is that? Oh my goodness, what is he posing with there? Correct. We're seeing a pattern, I think. This is the Sampradaya. The way in which books are passed down is our tradition. Every great acharya we have was a storehouse of transcendental knowledge, and most of them gave a literary contribution to society, a way in which books can be transported. In fact, an institution is defined as the means through which culture can be transported across time and geography. The means through which culture can be transported across time and geography. And culture is known as that which is real, right, and valuable to those involved in the particular society. There's a preeminent scholar, he recently passed away, of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. He wrote the foreword for the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Joseph T. O'Connell. And he wrote in a paper called Institutionalizing Prema that the Gaudiya institution, which is meant, again, for transporting our culture across time and geography, has two institutions, a hard institution and a soft institution. The hard institution is the way in which we organize ourselves so that we can live the philosophy. And he said, but the more efficient institution for Gaudiyas is the soft institution. And he says, that's the Gaudiya writings. And by the mass distribution of Gaudiya writings, as we heard last night, as Prabhupada was emphasizing, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur were emphasizing so much, is the most efficient way in which to transport our culture across time and geography. After all, how will one assure that people in 100 years, 200 years, get the essence of the philosophy and are able to practice it? You can employ that little mantra we had. This is Joseph T. O'Connell's contention. And this was Srila Prabhupada's also. His strategy to distribute books was not a sentimental cause. It was a very strategic cause. The means through which human society, through spreading idea seeds into the hearts and minds of the people who will pick up these books here, there, and everywhere, and under different circumstances will take them more or less seriously, but they must be taken seriously because the written word is always taken seriously in human society, especially when it's mass-produced and mass-distributed. So our strategy is sound, and the way in which Srila Prabhupada conceived it of using the printing press to broadcast the transcendental vibration is a Gaudiya tradition. And it's one that you can feel very proud of because nobody has books like we have. Nobody. These books that Prabhupada painstakingly put together with complete accuracy and also with word-for-word translations that are meaningful to people when they read them, that are free from any mistakes, that have purports that explain everything as a commentary and amalgamated commentary of all the previous acharyas. These books are unprecedented in the world. Whether people understand them immediately or not is another thing. The Prabhupada anticipated that when he came in the Jaladutta and he said, how will people understand the Bhagavatam at all when they're in the lower modes of nature? Nonetheless, he knew the power of this vibration itself, and therefore he recited the various verses starting with Shushu Shro Shodadhanasya, then Shrinbatam Swakata Krishna, then Nashta Prayeshu Bhadrishu, and so on, showing the progression that takes place in the hearts of human beings when they come in contact with the vibration. So when we go out to distribute books, or we go in to distribute books, or we consume them ourselves, we are taking in the vibration from the spiritual world, which is the original plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's just being delivered through this system of books right now in the most important and effective way. So now we're going to take a look at the SOS, if you switch back. And while he's switching, we'll take a few reflections. And the microphones, there's one on this side and one on that side, I'm assuming. And Gopal's ready to go, because he's my man. All right. Who's got a reflection? Yes. Vaishnavi.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. Just on that last point, you just mentioned how sometimes even if they don't understand the books, I just remembered when I was in Ireland many, many years ago, there's some girls that came to the Sunday feast, and later on, I brought them over to my house, and they were telling me, actually, that they didn't understand anything from the class when they heard Bhagavad Gita class. They couldn't understand anything. But somehow, with cultivation, and they started to chant, after this, they started to understand and get realization. And I was just realizing how powerful the Maha Mantra is. It really helps the consciousness to understand these finer transcendental knowledge, because at first they couldn't understand anything at all. And I could have just explained it. It wasn't registering until they actually started the process.
Yeah. Atashri Krishna nabhadi nabhaved grayam indriye sevam mukhi hi jivado swayame baspratyada. If you begin yoga with the tongue, then Krishna will reveal himself to you. Daru Brahma Dasi, who I wrote about in my book, received a Bhagavatam at a mall, and she had no intention of buying a book at a mall. nor did she know who the person was who delivered it, except she just felt that he was spiritual. And she gave a healthy donation at the time, which was $20 back in 1970 or so, or earlier. And she took it home. She said she had no idea what it was and couldn't really penetrate the language, but she kept it because she felt it was some kind of spiritual object. And it stayed in her house, and she used to see it every day. And then one day, after a year, she sat down on a rainy day in front of the fireplace and began to read it, and then her life completely transformed. She didn't meet devotees for 2 years. And even when she met them, she didn't put the two together. And then finally she realized. A couple more? Yes. Pran Govinda Prabhu.
I was thinking in order to maintain and continue the culture, the Vaishnava culture and tradition in long run, all other process eventually will fail, but the written format called books will support and keep going forever. And this book distribution or the book format is not something new Prabhupada invented, what you said. It is since the day one, Krishna to Brahmaji, the Brahma Sanghita, and then all the way to Mahaprabhu, and then to three Samananda Prabhu, and then all the way to Prabhupada. It's the same Gaudiya strategy. It is not a sentimental thing Prabhupada made or something, you know, superior to other, but this is actually a bona fide strategy how to distribute this Krishna conscious culture and tradition to the mass distribution.
Thank you very much. Your point is well taken. I however, just a slight response to the, I didn't say that the other institution will necessarily fail. They go side by side because one has to support the other. As you're bringing up, once people have the books and they need the other institution, I know you said in time, eventually. And there is a sense of that, that the way in which we try to hold things together with brick and mortar or other kinds of organization, there's the strong push of time that morphs it into other things. But the literatures themselves persist over time. And this is the whole process, actually, called Shruti, through which the Vedas are preserved. In fact, one of the ways in which we've been really successful lately in selling full sets of Bhagavatams is we slightly tweak the way we present them. So we started an organization at the beginning of this year called Go Matsya, because Matsya, of course, saved the Vedas. And when we present the full Bhagavatams to people in their homes, we tell them that we've come there to enroll them as members of Go Matsya, through which they can help to preserve the Vedas in the world. And our motto is preservation through mass distribution and education. And although previously we were selling hundreds of sets of Bhagavatams because we were following the four laws of book distribution and we got Bhagavatams, we showed Bhagavatams, we did sadhana, and we also organized towards it, we found that this slight enhancement of our presentation, offering them the opportunity to become the distributors immediately upon meeting them, enliven them. And now Go Matsya is spreading all over the world, and that's another program that you might be interested in here. Inviting people to become members, and there are different levels that they can enroll in. So now, moving on to the presentation from yesterday. We talked about the monthly Sankirtan Festival. This is a well-organized program which invites everyone in the whole community, including those who have dogs. They should bring them along. And everybody gets to go out together on book distribution, at least for that one day, at least for a few minutes, at least for half an hour, to feel what it's like to cross the threshold of one's home, to go out with everybody else, to distribute the transcendental knowledge in the form of books to people here, there, and everywhere. And these monthly Sankirtan festivals are fun for everybody. Starts with a morning program, breakfast, a little training, some Sankirtan, street Sankirtan maybe, but they're all different kinds of ways in which you can meet people here, there, and everywhere. The street is perhaps the most difficult kind, and then a meeting for lunch, as we'll do today, and then sharing the reflections. It's an extremely simple but powerful program. And recipe. Oh, you better give it to me. Nirkula, we need the wireless mics. Oh, these microphones. Okay, please leave the wireless mics on. Anybody with a wireless mic?
Yes.
The ones we're passing on. Just make sure they're both on. And don't turn them off. So there's a few principles for doing a monthly Sankirtan festival. It's done at least once a month. And make it fun. Emphasize teamwork. Everybody's working together. In fact, we don't take any individual scores. And everybody's contribution counts, whether they're cooking, whether they're driving, whether they're distributing, whether they're just encouraging from the sidelines. Everybody's contribution counts together as the same. We don't emphasize intense competition. We emphasize competing against ourselves to walk across the threshold to go out and do the right thing and experience what it's like. And to create fresh challenges as we move forward, there's ways in which you can create all kinds of exciting challenges so that everyone, the whole team, wants to rise up and meet it. And that's what keeps everybody motivated. And the other principle is to encourage the heck out of everybody. Because heck gets in people, and that it really, it's like a gooey substance, like mango sap. You can't get it out of your hair. And so you have to encourage people all the time. In fact, that's why we're here together in community, to encourage people whenever you see somebody doing something right, or whether you just appreciate the fact that they're still walking the planet. Give them a little encouragement. Even animals need encouragement. They get depressed too. I mean, everybody, every living entity. Prachodayat, we find that in the Gayatri Mantras. Krishna's trying to encourage everybody. That's why the sun rises. It's okay, start over again, you know? Let's try it. And you have to empower people. When we have these assemblies and we have brainstorming sessions, leaders arise. Like last night, Gopal. I noticed him because immediately he stood up and he made himself known that, you know, I'm a leader. And he started taking a leadership role last night. And he's in there now. He's one of the leaders of our Sankirtan party here. And you have to notice that, because leaders emerge from all different parts of the community. And when you see it, fan the spark. Give them a position. There are unlimited positions in the Sankirtan process. You create so many different branches by empowering and delegating services to people so that you can expand your Alachua book distribution empire. Apple started in a little dusty garage. We've got a little closet here of books. But that will expand as we continue to expand the empowerment of all the devotees here. Then we've got ingredients. You have to have a mission and a vision, which guides you. Which is, we talked together to the board of directors at Alachua the other night. And every one of them was so encouraging and eager to expand the book distribution here at ISKCON Alachua. And Team ISKCON Alachua. What is it?
TIA.
Team ISKCON Alachua. And then you also need personnel. That means people in taking different roles. You need to have Sankirtan spots. There's somebody who focuses on just getting spots. And finding especially legal spots where it's fine for devotees to go set up. And you don't know till you ask. People say, oh, you know, there are none. How do you know? Did you go ask everybody? You know, we had a little plaza downtown. It's a prime spot downtown Palo Alto. And we used to go there and then we'd wrangle with the street musicians whether we get the spot or they get the spot. Sometimes we get it, sometimes we wouldn't. And finally, I said, go check with the city hall. So they looked on the website, and our team who finds spots with a designated team, and they looked and they said, oh, we can get the whole plaza for $80 for the night with sound, and we can do a festival here. So they went down to the city hall and they said, we'd like to have a permit. And they said, we don't have any permits. We don't give permits. And we said, oh, actually you do. It's right here. And they said, oh, for goodness sake, okay, fine. And since then, we've dramatically expanded our what we call Kirtan Oasis, where we have a mini festival. It's just like Rath Yatra, but it all fits within the back of a little Toyota hatchback, unfolding tents and a meditation booth and a beautiful Harinam. It's lit at night with all kinds of exotic lights. It's branded, so you see the it looks very professional. And then there's a book table that rocks all night. I mean, people are just lined up at the book table, taking away books. And the combination of Harinam and book distribution together cannot be beat. So find your spots. They're all over the place, but they're hiding from you. You have to dig for them. Infrastructure, you have to develop your infrastructure. Like, if you want to think big, have a big place to store your books. Systems, identify systems and get them in place. Make things, like yesterday, we started a WhatsApp group. So everyone can get on the WhatsApp group, and then you get information about Sankirtan instantaneously, and you also pass on good news, action broadcasts, all kinds of paraphernalia that you need to be successful. And don't leave anything out. Get what you need. It's a professional program. There's Sankirtan leaders, team members, fulfillment director who takes care of making sure the books are always stocked, accountant, count all the huge piles of cash that you'll be pulling in, credit card receipts, all kinds of donations in cash and kind that will flow into this community, because when books and devotees go out into the society, the money comes back so fast, you'll have to build like a special roof on here so it doesn't cave in. And communication director to make sure the community, everybody in the community knows that this is going on. And prasadam production team, most vitally important, because prasadam makes life worth living for everybody. Stamps, labels, mantra cards. There's all types of paraphernalia you need. And when we go out for our first monthly Sankirtan festival, we just emphasize touching the pavement. We're not talking, nobody has to perform anything today. You know, all we have to do to prove to ourselves that we were worthy of our existence is that we just stay together as a team. We encourage each other. We walk out the door. We get in the cars. Our hearts are pounding. What's going to happen next? I don't know what to do. Don't worry. You're just going to touch the pavement. We're going to our spots. Wherever they tell us to go, we're going to go there. And then when we get there, together, we'll take a picture. We touched the pavement. We did it. We're done. And anything after that, if you want to mess around a little for a few more minutes after that, that's all extra. But we're not really counting that so much. We're just counting the touching of the pavement. And that's something that we can do if we try really hard. The mantras for the month of the Sankirtan Festival, repeat after me. Book distribution is high sadhana. We're going out for our own purification. Always better service. This is the principle where you're always looking to find room for improvement. You write it down. You make a list in your personnel department. You make sure that it's there. And you make at least three improvements every month. How many?
Three.
At least three. Everyone always say at least. At least three. And if you make at least three improvements every month, you'll find that everyone will notice that things are getting better. It's growing. And when things are growing, everyone wants to participate, and they'll do more than necessary to help the program. A lot doing a little.
A lot doing a little.
Yes, the idea of a few devotees doing all the Sankirtan is not a stable program, because they might move somewhere or they might decide to do another service. But if you get a lot of devotees each doing a tiny little bit, which is what everyone can do, a tiny little bit. How much can everybody do, Gopal? Correct. Tiny little bit. Then it adds up to a lot, a huge amount, and it's something that's very stable, and everybody can do their little bit. And I want you to repeat after me now.
Book distribution
is fun and easy.
It's fun and easy.
See? I told you. Okay. Lots of fun, and now teamwork is important. And devotees out together in the sun, chanting, inviting people in, giving books. Start small with your monthly sanctuary and then grow. That's our system. And here's a few tips to ponder. Pick the ripe fruits. When you go out on Sankirtan, don't feel that you have to convince everybody. You don't. What we're doing is going out and selecting, not convincing. What are we doing?
Selecting,
not convincing.
Selecting.
Once you select, then the convincing is relatively easy. It becomes a joy. So you look for those ripe fruits. When you go to pick ripe fruits on a tree, what kind of telltale signs do they have? Soft, colorful, juicy, fragrant. Yeah, all those things. Now, let's look. Here's at a Rathiatra. This young man on the left with the maroon shirt just happened to wander into that environment, and he met this wonderful devotee. And can you tell from his body language whether he's a ripe or unripe fruit?
Ripe.
Would you say ripe?
Yes.
Okay, say ripe.
Ripe.
Now, how about the man on the right who's talking to Kinshana Krishna? Ripe or unripe?
Unripe.
Okay, now how about this?
Ripe.
How about that?
Ripe.
How about this? Okay, get used to it, because that's what you have to look for. When you find somebody coming at you or running away from you, if they're coming at you like this, then you thank them and give them the prashamadam or whatever you need to do, answer your cell phone, and let them stay on the vine. And when you meet the ripe fruit, you go out of your way to accommodate them in every way possible. Now, Corn Explorer is something I stole from Charles Schwab, but it's very relevant to this Sankirtan process. 80% the systems, you already know what to do, know where to go, you've already tried it. But take 20% of your time and energy and invest it into new areas. Try new kinds of Sankirtan. Innovate. Go on the internet. I just raised $6,000 in the last few days because we put a button on my Facebook page and said, hey, we're doing Bhagavad Gita's, would you like to help? And so many nice devotees came forward and gave donations. And, you know, that was an explorer for sure. And it worked. So you can try all kinds of things 20% of the time, and 80% do what you know works. Then our prime directive is?
Leave
everyone good impression. If you go out in that mood, then you'll be happy all the time. You don't have to sell everybody a book, but you do have to leave everyone with a good impression, whether they take, don't take, whether they spit at you, whatever, and that won't happen. So anyway. So we have to be ambassadors of goodwill, and we are in the?
Service.
Our motto?
Always service.
We are?
Krishna.
We remain?
Humble and hungry.
We go out for? We do service for?
Service sake.
I save one soul at a time, beginning with?
Myself.
Treat people with?
Respect.
Offer kind?
Words.
Focus on?
Teamwork.
Preaching means?
Giving.
Don't be?
Condescending.
Express?
Empathy.
Practice?
Reflective listening.
Make people?
Feel special.
Why? All right, turn to somebody right now and make them feel special. Come on. Go, Paul. All right, stop it. Stop it. Stop making people feel special. They don't like it. It's very annoying. Develop the habit of expressing sincere gratitude and thanks to the people you meet, live with, and associate with. So there are various resources. ISKCON Book Distribution, distributebooks.com. Most of the materials we're talking about today and at other times are available. You can download them from distributebooks.com. And remember that it's fun and easy. So, in lieu of a few reflections, I'm going to move on to how to sell a Bhagavad Gita on its own merit. Now, normally, when you join a sales company, they'll give you a little flip book that tells you the different steps, how to sell the product, and then you'll go through it, and at the end, people will buy your product because the presentation is so nice. And that's how people who just come into the company get really good at selling things right away. And fortunately, in our program, we have the flip book for selling is also the product.